you for your word this morning that goes out and does what it's sent to do, Lord. It's your word that restores, is your word that edifies, it's your word that brings conviction, Father God. I pray this morning, Lord, that you may speak to the hearts in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We're going to be ministering under the theme. And this morning, the theme is a question. What are you doing here? And as we go through this sermon, I want you to meditate on that question. What am I doing here? And as we unravel this, that question will give you more clarity. How many say amen? 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 through 13. Read like this. There he went into the cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? He replied, I have been very zealous for the Lord God Almighty. The Israelites have rejected your covenant, turned down your altars, and put your prophets to death with the sword. I am the only one left, and now they are trying to kill me too. Verse 11. The Lord said, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and went out and stood in the mouth of the cave. Then the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? This morning, we're talking about the prophet Elijah, one of the greatest prophets the Old Testament can have. He was a man that saw great miracles. He saw great provision. I mean, he was a man that in a moment of need and being hungry, he was fed by a raven, right? He was the man that stopped by the widow's house and asked the widow to bake him a cake to eat. And the widow looked at him and said, I only have enough oil for my son and I. And after this, we're going to die, right? And through the prophet's mouth, right, he blessed that home. And the Bible says that the jug of oil never ran out, right? That there was enough provision for the entire house for years to come, right? It was at the same house where the widow's son, after Elijah being there and eating at their table, the widow's son passes away. And he sees the widow and she's crying and she tells him, you know, he asks her the question, what's going on? And she tells him, well, my son just passed away. And it was by his prayer, right, that God was able to resurrect the kid again, right? It was by the prayer of Elijah. God has called Elijah during this season for great work. But I want you to know this morning that Elijah wasn't the only one called for great work, right? That you and I were called for great work. That God has purpose for your life. That God has a plan for your life. Hallelujah. That his purpose will come to pass. How many can just say, God has a plan for my life? You know, you need to verbally, under that mask, just say, God has a purpose for my life. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, we see that God lifted up prophets, priests, judges, and kings to lead the people of Israel into a life of into a life that's consecrated for God, right? Because that's the plan. We're here to honor God. Not with just our offerings and our worship, but with our lifestyle. Our daily lifestyle is meant to honor the Lord. So God lifts up this prophet Elijah during a critical time in the kingdom of Israel, right? Why? Because during this time, there was a king by the name of Ahab who was very wicked. And on top of that, he had married a wicked queen by the name of Jezebel, who, with her idol worship, introduced Israel back to idol worshiping, right? So the nation of Israel at this moment is in a critical time where they're worshiping the gods of Baal, right? Where it caused the nation of Israel to have a 50-year strain of depression and chaos. And during this time is when God lifts up the prophet Elijah, right? Because it's always in the difficult times of the world and the difficult times where God calls men and women to do a good work. It's not always in the good times and in the easy times. It's in the times of challenge. And he lifts up this prophet Elijah and to go present himself to this wicked king. Look at what chapter 18 verse 21 says. It says, Elijah went before the people and said, before the king and the people, right? And he said, how long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. Oh, right? Because, you know, we cannot be a people that wavers between two opinions. What he was saying is, you either serve God or serve the world, but you cannot serve both. How many say amen? You cannot serve both masters, right? And here it says that we all know the great chapter 18 of 1 Kings, right? Where Elijah says, let's see who's the real God. And he summons 450 prophets of this false god Baal onto Mount Carmel. And the Bible says that in that moment, God gave him a great victory over 450 prophets. I mean, talk about a good victory. But do you know that after every victory comes another battle, right? Do you know that after every victory, there's something that's lurking still to rage war against us, against our homes, against our children, right? There's always something that's coming after. So, I mean, when you look at it, he defeated 450 prophets, made fun of them. First, he made fun of them, right? Then defeated them. And after he defeated them, he had them slaughtered. What a victory. But what happens? The Bible says that Ahab told his wife, Jezebel. And shockingly, Jezebel sent out a threat and says, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be like one of those prophets you slaughtered. Because that's what the enemy likes to do. After a victory, he wants to send out threats. He wants to scare you, to push you away from the Lord. Shockingly, Elijah immediately ran for his life. Isn't this amazing? You defeated 450 prophets, and a woman sets a death threat, and you run for your life. I found that amusing, right? Because I'm like, how is this possible? But at the same time, we're going to get to see not the Elijah, the great prophet that God has called and that God uses to do miracles, but we're going to be exposed to the humanity of Elijah, right? That God, in the book of James, chapter 7, right? It says that Elijah is human just like us, that we get to see his frailties up front. And here Jezebel sensed this threat, and he goes off running. I mean, she wasn't no ordinary woman, right? The Bible says that she was a vicious woman, and that during that time she had many prophets killed. Elijah probably assumed at that moment of victory at Mount Carmel that Ahab would go back and tell Jezebel, listen, man, this is the real God. The God of Israel, the God of Elijah is the real God. So, you know what? Let's just stop worshiping Baal. You would have thought that was going to happen. Elijah might have thought that was going to happen. But his moment of frailty was approaching. Verse 9 says, he went into the cave and spent the night. We know the story that as he runs, he's running for his life. And the Bible says that he crosses the wilderness into the land of Judah, into a land far away where Jezebel and King Ahab had no authority to go into. And he crosses into the wilderness and goes into a cave. Hallelujah. And there he spends the night. And in verse 9 says, and the word of the Lord came to him. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing here? Of course, the obvious answer for Elijah was probably like, I'm resting, Lord. I'm resting. I'm tired. God wasn't asking Elijah what he was doing at Oreb, but rather, what was he doing at Oreb? Do you get it? He wasn't asking him, what are you doing? He could have said, I'm resting. But he's asking him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Because that's what happens. When God has called Elijah to minister to the nation of Israel, he was far away from where God had called him to be. The truth is, I wonder today how many of us are far away from where God has actually called us to be. What are you doing here, Elijah? I've called you to minister to my people, but you are far away from the task that I've called you to minister. Hallelujah. Why have you fled from Israel when I have called you to minister to them? And that's how some of us find ourselves at times. God has called us to worship, to teach, to preach. God has called us to be light amongst darkness. And where are you today is the question that God brings to the table. Are you far away from what I've called you to be? Or are you in the place that I've called you to be in at this very moment? Hallelujah. The first point I want to draw from this scripture is your emotions can lead you straight into the cave. Your emotions. What are you talking about, Pastor George? Your emotions of anger. Your emotions of unforgiveness and guilt. Your emotions of not forgiving a brother or a sister. Your emotions of loneliness and depression. Your emotions of being overwhelmed and of failure, maybe of sadness or jealousy. I'm going to tell you that these emotions will lead you into a dark place, into a place that will try to keep you captive. These emotions led Elijah right into the cave. And God is questioning him, why are you here? I didn't call you to be in this cave. I called you to be out there. Hallelujah. Emotions of loneliness, depression. Yeah, because when Jezebel sent out the death threat, Elijah just didn't fear for his life. The Bible says, and the scholars and when you study the scripture says that Elijah, the great prophet, was depressed, ran into a depression. Oh man, you know, if it happens to the greatest of them in the Bible, it's gonna happen to us. Hallelujah. We might find ourselves in this cave this morning, and the cave is dark,
And in that dark, isolated, overwhelming emotion where depression wants to take over, there are four lies that Satan will drill into the church that he wants you to believe so you can stay in that cave. The first lie is, if God is in control and he's allowing you to suffer, then he cares more about his own glory than he does about you. Nah, a lie from the pit of hell. Yes, the Bible, we're here to glorify and honor the Son who resurrected on the third day. Yes, all glory belongs to Jesus, but God loves us and he cares about us. I'm not going to believe that while I'm fighting this depression or while I'm fighting this loneliness, that God doesn't care about me and that he's left me in the cave alone. The second lie he wants you to believe. If God really loves you, he will answer your prayers for that new job or promotion, for that spouse or that baby you're praying for. If he loves you this much, he will answer your prayer. How many know that God is sovereign? That in his understanding of what's best for his people, in his understanding of what's best for his church, he answers according to his will. Satan wants us to question God's love because his love is the essence of the gospel. Satan will work to make us question God's love because his love is the essence of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was because of love that God sent his Son into the world, and his Son carried the cross to Calvary and died for our sins. The gospel is love. I won't believe his lies. Let's not be fooled into thinking that prosperity and ease are a sign of God's favor. He'll tell you that in the cave. Look, you're good. You're comfortable. I have blessed your family. You got a good job. You have everything you need. And it's a lie to keep you captive in the cave. Hallelujah. We're going to expose his lies this morning because Jesus has left us the truth. It's the word of the living God. I will not live believing a lie when he's left me the truth. Hallelujah. The third lie that he tells you in the cave, if you had stronger faith, then you wouldn't struggle with these emotions, such as anger, despair, confusion, loneliness, jealousy, whatever emotion you find yourself struggling with. If you had enough faith, then you wouldn't find yourself in that situation. What a lie. Because Elijah was one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. He finds himself struggling with these emotions. He finds himself scared and facing emotions of fear. I won't believe that lie. This lie is meant to keep us from being real with Jesus. Because Jesus wants us to be authentic with him. Because he knows what we're going through. He knows what you're facing. He knows that at times when you have no one to talk to and no one to call, that is the pillows at night that receives your tears. He knows what you're going through. I thank God for his attributes. He's a sovereign God, an all-knowing God. Hallelujah. The fourth lie he tells you in the cave. You're all alone. Nobody could ever understand you. You know how many people stay in that cave believing that lie? You're not alone. He wants to isolate you so you could think you're alone. But we are the church. Hallelujah. We are far more vulnerable to the enemy's attacks when we feel alone and aren't connected to the body of Christ. Oh, you know what Elijah did When you read chapter 19, verse 3, the Bible says that he ran. But on the way to running to the cave, he abandons his servant. Because that's the plan. I want you to be alone. I don't want you to have accountability. I don't want you to tell. That's the plan of the enemy. It's a lie. He don't want you to have someone next to you saying, "Are you all right today? Oh, we're going to get through this together. We're going to worship through this problem. We're going to worship ourselves until we see a breakthrough come." He don't want that. He wants to feed you lies. Therefore, Satan works hard to isolate us. One way he does this is by convincing us that no one can understand or relate to our circumstances. He's a liar this morning. In your place of emotions this morning, Jesus is right there. You're not alone. He wants to turn the cave. You know, in the Old Testament, the cave was a place of refuge, right? It was a place where many found refuge. It was a place where Moses found refuge. It was a place where King David, when he was on the run from Saul, found refuge. The cave was a place, a temporary place of refuge. But the enemy wants to take what's a temporary place and make it into a full prison of captivity. No, it's okay to feel lonely. It's okay to feel these emotions, but God wants you to know that he's in the midst of that with you, that you're not alone, that you don't have to believe the enemy's lies. Hallelujah. You know what has a lot of people in the cave? Complacency. Complacency now in modern America is beyond the roof. Where we just worship when we want to worship. We come to the temple when we want to come to the temple. If I worked all day and my boss has me tied, then I don't got time for the temple today. Imagine if Jesus, that's David said, "I'd rather fall in the hands of God than in the hands of man." Why did David say that? Because imagine if Jesus would turn to you while you're praying and say, "I don't got time for you." But his mercy is so great that even when we lack, even when we're going through these difficulties, even when we find ourselves in a cave, he still loves us. He's still there with us. Hallelujah. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing in the cave this morning? Hallelujah. The second point I want to pull out is this, that God meets us in our cave moments. Hallelujah. How many of you can say amen? The Lord in verse 11 said, "Go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by." Hallelujah. I know that you find yourselves in these circumstances. I know that you're in this cave, Elijah, but I'm about to pass by. Because the cave does not keep me out. Your circumstances cannot keep me out. I love you this much that I'm going to stop by and see you right there where you're at. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to meet you right in your moment of need. And the Bible says that after the fire came, a gentle whisper came. Hallelujah. A gentle whisper came to Elijah. Why was it gentle? Because Elijah was in his frail state. He was in a time of need. He was broken. He had fear and all these emotions. And God says, "I'm going to come with a gentle whisper." Because God becomes whatever you need him to become. Hallelujah. If you need him to be a healer this morning, he becomes a healer. If you need him to be your savior this morning, he can become your savior. What is it that you need this morning from Jesus? Hallelujah. God can become whatever you need him to become. Hallelujah. His calming reassurance of God's presence over Elijah's life. Hallelujah. Can the church say amen? It's in those moments of need. It's in the moments of loneliness. It's in the moments of depression. It's in the moments of frailty that Jesus shows up. Hallelujah. Psalms 52:22 says, cast your cares on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be shaken. Psalms 34:4-8 says, God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out, and God got me out of that tight spot. God's angels set up a circle of protection around us while we pray. And look at verse 8. It says, open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run towards him. Hallelujah. Oh, man. If it wasn't for the mercy of Jesus. If it wasn't that in your broken state that he stepped in the cave and rescued you. Hallelujah. I don't know. But I've had many cave moments in my life. And I got to tell you, it's those moments that define Christianity. It's those moments that define my walk. Hallelujah. When I'm in that moment and I have doubt and fear and Jesus shows up. Hallelujah. There's nothing like that. Hallelujah. I mean, you can try the remedies of this world. You can try to see the therapist. You can try to work yourself at work to become successful and have all this money in the bank. But nothing in this world compares to the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. If you're in the cave this morning, Jesus is right there with you. Because he doesn't have boundaries. He doesn't have circumstances that are too much for him. He steps right in the middle of your situation and shows you that he's able to do more and willing to do more than what you expect. Hallelujah. This morning, what are you doing here? Do you hear God's gentle whisper telling you that he loves you, that he's going to see you through, that there's nothing impossible for him, that there are no circumstances impossible for him? His presence is here this morning. Not because I'm here, not because the leaders are here. His presence is here because he has a freshness of his presence for you. Because he wants to let you know that even in your difficult times, he's right there with you. He'll never abandon you, the Bible says. He will never leave you or forsake you. He's right here in the cave with you this morning. Hallelujah. Psalms 30, verse 5 says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I might be crying now. I might be feeling broken now. But I know that Jesus, I know that he's in this situation with me. And because he's here with me, hallelujah, it's going to be all right. Hallelujah. You might find yourself fighting this morning. You might find yourself facing all these emotions. But God is here to tell you, fear not. I'm here with you. I'm here with you. Even when Elijah started running away, we call that a detour, right? Even when he took a detour, God already knew that he was going to make that move. And the Bible says that he provided for him, that he nourished him, that he took care of him. Even when we're heading into the cave, because we can't control our emotions. Even when our emotions get the best of us, Jesus is saying, I got this under control. You might find yourself struggling this morning, but I come to tell you that if you believe in the power of my blood, it will set you free. Hallelujah. We worship your name. Hallelujah. God is good this morning. The cave is meant to keep you captive. But God is saying, I don't want you to be captive in there. I've come to rescue you so you can come out of that cave. I don't want the enemy to have his way with you. I don't want the enemy to have his way with your family. I don't want him to take control over your mind. I come to set you free. Oh, man. When I think about my cave moment, I just got to worship him. When I think about that 17 years ago, I was broken, young teenager, without love, without Jesus, without nothing. And he stepped into that cave, and gave me hope and gave me a future. Hallelujah. You know, I got to tell you something. About 2 weeks ago, I opened up my Facebook and I see a message. And I see a guy that I haven't seen in about 20 years. And he says, hey, George, I don't know if you remember me. I'm such and such. Do you remember our friend, such and such? I said, yeah. I'm Facebook Messenger, right? Praise God for social media, because it's good if you use it good. And I say, yeah, I remember such and such. He says, such and such passed away. We're having his funeral right here, such and such date, such and such address. So I said, all right, I'll be there. I walked into the funeral home, and I saw his family. His family greeted me, and says, wow, George, I haven't seen you in 20 years. I said, God has done a good work in me. I stopped doing what I was doing, and he saved me. And it's been the Bible that has kept me safe. It's been God's word. And the funeral home was empty. I was like, this is not possible. But as the minutes kept going, the funeral home started getting packed. It's not one of those funerals where you just walk in with your Bible. Hey, I'm going to say the last regards. It's not. It was real, what we call hood, right? And I mean, you will be scared to walk in there. I was sitting there, and a couple guys stopped and said, George, I brought down the mask real quick. And the first person that saw me started crying in my shoulders. And then after a while, another guy came and hugged me and said, George, we haven't seen you in such a long time. And by the time you know it, my phone book downloaded about 20 new numbers. And these men that I haven't seen in 15 and 20 years started hugging me. And some were saying, George, you know, such and such died. He was depressed. And he didn't have no answers. And he just drunk alcohol. And he died. He was only 35, George. Do you believe this? And my heart started to break. And then as I sat with some of these guys, they said, George, do you remember such and such? He became a heroin addict. He never made it out of the streets. And George, do you remember this person? And when I was driving home, the Lord reminded me, hallelujah, that it was in that cave that I was in, that he showed up and rescued me. Hallelujah. And as I was pulling into my parking lot, I said, Lord, I don't ever want to be so churched that I forget where I come from. I don't want to be so full of theology, so full of biblical education that I forget that Jesus saved me. Hallelujah. Oh, God, you see, God ain't looking for more theologians. He's looking for people to recognize that he is God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. And you can worship him. You can give him glory. Hallelujah. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of worship. Hallelujah. The books save you. They lead you closer to Jesus. But it's the blood that rescues you. Hallelujah. My third and final point this morning. Hallelujah. Don't be so religious that you forget where God brought you from. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Our third point this morning is God calls you out of that cave. He shows you. The second point, he shows up. But the third point, he says, I've showed up. I've reminded you of how good I am. I've refreshed you with my presence. But I want you to know that I can't leave you in this cave. The cave is not your permanent residency. I need you to come out. Hallelujah. Oh, the enemy wants to keep you in there. But today Jesus says, I need you to come out that cave. I need you to come out that cave with all your problems. Yeah. I need you to come out that cave with all your situation, with all your baggage. Hallelujah. You see, God, Jesus, is not like man. I can only carry so much burden. But the Bible says that he can carry the burdens of all of us. So this morning, he calls you out. Hallelujah. And then the ending of verse 13 says, again, then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? You don't belong here. I've come to call you out of that cave. And the Bible says that he gave him his new assignments. He says, Elijah, you are to go here and anoint Elisha, your successor. You are here and go over there and anoint the next king. You see, God calls us out of the cave, but it's not so we can sit in a church pew. God calls us out of the cave so we can push the kingdom forth. No, he's calling you out this morning. The cave is not where you belong. Hallelujah. Come out, come out. This morning, Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work for the good for those who love him. Genesis 50:20 says, what the enemy meant for evil, he turned it for good. Hallelujah. He wanted me to be lost in those streets. But when I walked out of that funeral home, I said, listen, man, Jesus did it for me and he can do it for you. Hallelujah. What the enemy meant for evil, he has turned it for good. The enemy wants you to stay in the cave with your emotions. But God is saying, I'm more powerful than he. I'm more powerful. I'm calling you out this morning. Hallelujah. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it unto completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. He's calling you out this morning with all feet. Let's rise, church. This morning, he's calling you. He's saying, don't forget about your cave moment. Don't forget that in that cave, I showed up many times. You know, sometimes we're in the cave more than once. You see, when he saved us, yeah, he showed up at the cave. But there are times where we lack provision, and he shows up at that cave, and he's known as the great provider. Hallelujah. There's times where our body's telling us that we're sick, and he shows up at that cave and he becomes the great healer. Hallelujah. I got to tell you something before we close. I had this song that has ministered to me greatly for the last couple weeks. And the words go like this. I'm not going to sing. I know some of you is wearing like, he's going to sing. No, I'm not going to sing. But listen to these lyrics. It says, I found a freedom worth fighting for. I have a reason to sing a song. Oh yeah, I got a freedom worth dying for, and that's Jesus. And it goes like this. I'm not afraid of the dark, afraid of the darkness. I'm not afraid of the dark, afraid of the darkness. Everywhere I walk, I pray to God, and yes, that's Jesus. And it goes, who would have known? Who would have known that he would talk to me? Who would have known that he took time out to walk with me? Open my eyes. Now I can see that's Jesus, our risen King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This morning, I don't know how you find yourself. I don't know in what cave you find yourself this morning. But God tells you, I'm right here with you. I have never left you or forsaken you. Hallelujah. I will never leave you or forsake you. He tells you this morning. Hallelujah. With all eyes closed and all hands raised up. Lift up your hands. This morning, Jesus tells you, I'm here with you. I call you out that cave because I have a plan and a purpose for your life. Hallelujah. As the worship team gets ready to worship, the altar is open. Don't come because you want me to pray for you. Come because Jesus is able to do more and willing to do more than what you can expect and think. Hallelujah. As the worship team gets ready to close in worship, the altar is open and our leaders and pastors are ready to pray for you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.